Last Sunday morning, we began to lay some groundwork, and we're not going to get a whole lot further than some of the groundwork today. If you have a husband that's not here and you didn't get one, raise your hand. If you have a husband that's not here today, or a dad or a grandfather that didn't get you didn't get one, raise your hand. They'll bring them to you. All right. Or if you want to come up afterwards, that's fine. Last Sunday morning, I began to lay some groundwork for this message. I believe strongly that God laid on my heart that we as Christians need to begin to model contentment in our lives. That when the world sees us, they see a godly contentment in us. I'm going to read real quickly with you the two verses that we shared last week, and then we're going to move into the gist of this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. We talked a lot about that last week. I'm not going to reiterate that. And the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned, Paul said, in whatsoever state that I am in, to be content. I know how to have lack, and I know how to have much. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned. Life is all about learning, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ that strengthens me. Hebrews 13:5 said, let your conduct, let your actions, let the way you live your life be without covetousness. You heard me say just a few moments ago, God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. Blessing never comes into our life solely for us and us alone. Yes, God desires for us to be blessed. God desires for good things to come into our lives. But He brings them into our lives that it might be a sign to those who are not living where we're living. And that we can pour out of the utmost blessing that God has poured into our lives, into others' lives, and we can be a blessing to them. Be content. Be content with such things as you have. How many of you have a place that you call home, whether you rent, whether you... Let me tell you something. If it's paid off, you own it. If it's not paid off, you don't own it. You're working your way there to it. So you either are renting, or you're paying a mortgage, or you own your own home. How many of you are in that category today? How many of you today are homeless? Homeless. You have no home. In other words, you have no place to sleep. Not one of you? How many of you today walked from your home to Harvest Church this morning? How many of you walked here today? Let me see your hands. How many of you rode a bicycle this morning to church, or scooter, you know? How many rode a skateboard to church this morning? How many rode a horse? That may have happened. Nobody even rode a horse today. How many rode a donkey? Nobody. So everyone here today has a home, whether it's rented, mortgage, paid off. We all got a car, whether it's a lease, it's financed, or it's owned. How many of you here today in the last 24 hours went without all food other than if you fasted? I'm saying you had no substance. You had no food. You had no bread. You had no water. You had nothing to put in your physical being at all. You had nothing. Anyone? No hands. How many of you here this morning in the last 30 days had to dumpster dive for food? you had to go to a dumpster outside of Shop and Save or Giant Eagle or Walmart and get whatever they threw out. You had to go to Dunkin' Donuts and wait till they threw the stuff out at the end of the night or whatever the bakery and had to go get some food to put in your belly. Or how many of you moms that are here today, you had to go without eating in the last week because your children needed the food because their bellies were extending. And I'm not saying extending from eating. I'm saying extending from lack of nutrition. Any moms? So basically, I guess we could say that the majority of us in this room today are blessed. How many of you had a bed to sleep in last night? And if you didn't sleep in the bed, it was probably out of your own choice. You're camping or sleeping on the ground or doing whatever. That's different. But you own a bed. You young people that are here today, how many of you are living under a roof that someone else is paying for? How many of you are going into the four walls of a room called your bedroom that someone else has provided for you? How many of you sat down at a table and ate some food for somebody that cooked it for you? Somebody that provided it for you? How many of you got the clothes on your back today because somebody in your house put them in a washing machine and washed them and dried them and put them in your room for you? How many of you wish people still did that for you? Young people, be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for the bedrooms you have. Be thankful for the beds that you lay your body on. Be thankful for the pillow that your head rests upon. Be thankful for the clothing on your back. Be thankful for the shoes on your feet. Be thankful for the ride that you get to go wherever it is you need to go. Be thankful for that cellular device that you carry in your pocket. Be thankful for that laptop or that iPad or that Android or whatever that device is that you got. Be thankful today for whatever the possessions that you have within your home that have been provided for you. And don't you forget for a moment, they've been provided for you. Be thankful. Be thankful. Learn to say thank you. Learn to say I appreciate that. Learn to say, I love you. Let your conduct be without covetousness, but be content with such things as you have. We are very blessed. I was told by somebody not long ago that the need in our public school system has become so great around the holidays at Christmas time that the number of families who cannot provide gifts or presents to their children is astronomical. No substance, no increase, no way of providing, no provision. A lot of grandmothers raising their grandchildren. A lot of single moms or single dads taking responsibility for their children and struggling. And you are very, very blessed. You are blessed. So stop grumbling. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself hath said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. The Bible says, if you have nothing else to be thankful for, you know what? Boom. There it is right there, George. He'll never leave you, nor forsake you. That's a reason to be thankful. Because if God before you, you'll never have lack in your life. Because he will provide for you. Contentment, the state of being content or satisfied, ease of mind. I left you with this last week. How do you know if you're discontented? Well, one of the first things is you grumble. You grumble. Philippians 2, verse 4 through 18, do everything, say everything. Do everything, that's action, it's what we do, it's what we participate in. Do everything, that's not some things, it's not the things that you choose. Do everything. If I said you'd do everything, would I be suggesting it to you? Well, maybe we need a little lesson on wordage. No, if I said to you, Danny, do, it's not a suggestion. I'm not asking. When my mom said to me, go clean your bedroom, she wasn't suggesting to me. She wasn't like, hey, if you feel like it, you know. No, she said, go. What did you do? Those of my age and up. We went. I'm not talking about what some of the younger people do. Do everything. Young people, look at me. Look at me, everyone. I'll come down. I'll come right down to you. You look at me. Do everything. Everything. Do everything. You with me? You with me? Without complaining. Moms, dads, be good teachers. For the Lord hath directed us to do every... Why do our kids grumble and complain? Because we grumble and complain. Dissatisfaction, lack of contentment in our hearts and in our lives today. Do everything without complaining. You know, there are some people in life that could not have a conversation without complaining. I would love to say to you, from now on, every time we talk, as soon as you begin to complain, I'm going to go, up, up, up. I sat in front of the TV last night, and I turned something on because of what I'd heard, and I told my wife, I paused it till she could come in the room. I said, watch this. We are so blessed we can pause our TVs. How many of you can pause your TV? Some of you don't even want to admit you're that blessed. That is unbelievable to even think, Ethan, that you could stop it and then start it again. I know to some of you, you grew up in that technology. To old stinkers like me, that is incredible that you can stop it, Ken, and start it. So I called her in the room. I said, you got to watch this. This is absolutely hilarious. A reporter trying to grill the president of the United States. And he went, shh. He shushed her. He shushed her. Shh. In other words, what he was saying is, that's ridiculous. And when is a society have we become so arrogant and so prideful and so disrespectful that to the office of the presidency of the United States of America, that we would have the audacity to disrespect the office of the highest office in our land, to believe that we could speak to that office in such disrespect is amazing to me. As a, well, we have freedom of speech. You have freedom of respect. Your speech should be respectful. Our speech should be respectful. Another one said to him something. He said, you don't understand a joke. He said, who are you with? The guy, yeah, he said, sarcasm. Don't you understand sarcasm? He said, who are you with? The guy said, CNN. He went, oh, you guys are awful. You know what's so refreshing? I'm going to tell you what's so refreshing about that. It's about time we call people out. We have let dumb be so dumb that it's become our normal. And it's about time we call out dumb and say, you know what, that's dumb. You know what, don't talk like that. You know, don't use that type of language. Don't do that. Don't live that way. It's about time we stand up for the principles and the things that God has laid before us in His Word, has showed us how to live. He has showed us how to live, and He has showed us how to prosper, and He has showed us how to do well. How's it working for you all? How's it working? He's shown us the way. We've raised grumblers and complainers and agitators and instigators, because in many cases we have been a lot of those things. Do everything without complaining or arguing. There are some people that couldn't have a conversation without complaining and arguing. And that should not be who we are. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. Listen to what he said. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that you may become. It's not that you are, that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation. Wow. He says to us, we need to be different than that so that we would be blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. How many of you know we're in a crooked and depraved generation? In which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. That's powerful. He said, if you do these things, you're going to stand out. I don't want to stand out. You cannot be a follower of Jesus and not stand out, because you will be like a star that shines in the sky. Oh, I don't want to be seen. Oh, hogwash. He said, if you do these things, you're going to be blameless and you're going to be pure and you are going to stick out like a sore thumb. I just want to be in the back row. No, there are no back rows in the Christianity. We shine like stars. A couple weeks ago, I had such a funny moment with Jill. We were out here in the field, and for the camp thing, you know, it just wasn't Jill and I. Let me just straighten that out. Everybody, good Lord. Some of you are like, what were you and Jill doing out in the field? Danny was there too. This kid, the bunch of people, we're all out there. Man, talk about getting a story straight. And we're sitting there, and she looked over at the tree line, and she says, look, did you say sparkle? She said, look at them trees sparkle. I was sitting there thinking to myself, those are lightning bugs. I'm thinking to myself, does she not know those are lightning bugs? Does Jill literally think the trees are sparkling? And I said to her, well, those are lightning bugs. And she goes, I know. But didn't it? Those trees just looked like they had fire tips on the end of them. They're just, if you sat there and looked at them, they're just sparkling. Scripture says we're like a star in the sky. You know how bright a star in the sky is? That's the way we are. And if we will stop grumbling, isn't it funny? He didn't say if you stop doing a lot of other. He said complaining and grumbling. He didn't say if you'd stop that or this. Without complaining and arguing are the two things that he points out to us here. And he says, so that you may become blameless. So becoming blameless and pure without fault, we can't complain and we can't grumble. Now, what I mean by that is we can't be complainers and grumblers as a part of our lifestyle. I understand something happens and you say to your wife, oh, geez, I wish that wouldn't have happened. That's different. That's expressing your feeling or your emotion. But when you're harping on that thing for 3 months afterwards, there's a problem. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's okay to express your feeling and say, man, that stinks. I can't believe that happened. But you move on from it. You don't become embedded in it. You don't become rooted down in that thing where it begins to change your mood, change your demeanor, change your attitude, change your outlook on things. He said, you become like the stars. In order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. He said, even in suffering, even in being poured out like an offering, I'm not going to grumble and complain. Even when things aren't going my way, I'm not going to grumble and complain. The Greek word translated grumble is translated complainer. It's complainer. And it literally means one who is discontented with his or her lot in life. A grumbler is a complainer who is discontented with their lot in life. We've just established here today, and if I remember correctly, according to the population of the world, those of you who sit in this church today are 70% more blessed than the average person in the world. I'm talking the world. You're blessed more than 70% of the world. In other words, you ready? You are in the top 30 percentile of the world with the possessions you possess, with the substance you have. You think you have reason to complain? There's 70% of the world will switch places with you real quick. Real quick. When was the last time you ever thought, thank you, Lord, for that running water? Thank you, God, as I stand under the shower today, that I have the privilege of having a blessing of water piped into my house, coming through these spigots to cleanse my body. You are a good, good God. When I step out of this shower, that I have a towel to wipe myself dry with. I have clothes to put on my body. I've got a machine that I can wash that thing in. Then I can put it in another one, then it'll dry it. Boy, if they ever come out with one that'll fold them, man, it will be unbelievable, huh? We got one that'll wash it, one that'll dry it, and then we'll grumble and complain that we have to fold it. Come on. Discontented. And you know, when you become discontented with things in life, it becomes a pattern. And it begins to creep on from the thing you became discontented with to other things in your life. Complaining is certainly not a fruit of the Spirit by any means. In fact, complaining and being disgruntled is a detriment to peace, joy, and patience that are all fruits of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to push out the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then grumble and complain. It's only two things. It's two things that we can rid from our life, two things that will bring a lot into our life. We'll have more joy, we'll have more peace, we'll have more patience. Those things come from the Holy Spirit. But if we grumble and complain, remember I said to you earlier, grumbling and complaining and praise cannot exit the same mouth. One counteracts the other one. One will counteract the other one. For discontented, we do not have peace. For discontented, we do not have joy. For discontented, we do not have patience. And when we as Christians complain, not only is it destructive in our own lives, but think of it in a broader text. It damages our ability to witness to the world. Because if we are disgruntled, and we are disconnected, and we are unhappy, and we are miserable, and we complain, who in the world would want to be attached to a church, a faith, a religion where its people are dissatisfied with life and who continually grumble and complain about everything? Wow. I ain't getting any amens. I'm not getting any praise the Lord's this morning. You know what I'm getting? I'm getting, you're stepping on our toes, preacher. I'm getting, come on, man, get back to the God blessing the businesses stuff. Come on, man, get back to God wanting to bless our house stuff. I'm still there. I haven't left. And if you stop doing these things, you'll be right smack in the middle of it. Because that's what his word says. And like Henry's family member that said, it's true. I believe what I'm telling you. I believe what I'm telling you. I stood in that funeral home, Karen, you sat there that night. I stood in that funeral home, and I began to weep and told people, fix it. And I'm thinking in my own mind, why are you crying? You don't even know these people. You don't even know these people. But my heart was so moved, Allison, with compassion over a people that I didn't even really know the majority of. Make it right. Make it right. Don't have these issues. Fix it. Fix it. If you're a grumbler and you're a complainer, fix it. You say, I can't. Yes, you can. And to say you can't is to discount the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he is the comforter. And if we're not comforted, then what's the problem? Where does the problem lie, Rhonda? If he's a comforter and he comes to comfort me and I'm not comforted, where's the problem? It's with me. It's not with him. He's the comforter. He's the helper. Say helper. Tell somebody today, you got a helper. Who wants to be attracted to a people, a church, a place where those people are nothing but complainers and grumblers? Not me. Well, he called me here to deal with you, so I have to, but I don't know about it. No, just kidding. Oh, my. But seriously, am I telling you the truth? How many of you want to be around people just negative and nasty all the time? Just grumbling and complaining all the time? Can I ask you, how does it affect you? When you leave being with somebody that is a grumbler and a complainer, do you leave like, oh, wow, it was really great being with them today? Or do you get in your car and go, oh, God, thank you for getting me out of that? And let me ask you, how many of you have had a bad day because of somebody that you spent time with? People will affect you. People will, but it's up to you whether or not you'll allow them. Because what's in you should be better than what's in them and override what's in them. If we're grumbling and complaining about something that we're doing or the way something is going in our lives right now, literally, we're grumbling and complaining about what God has allowed or permitted to be in our life at this particular moment. To everything, there is a time. To everything, there is a season. Now, I do believe as well, I think there are times we enter into things that we have no place being in, and God never intended us to be in them, but we simply got in them because we disobeyed him. I believe as well, there are other times that God permits us to be in situation or circumstance that will give him glory and that will give him honor. We see that all throughout the Word of God. They said to him one day about a blind man, he must have sinned. And Jesus said he didn't sin. They said, well, then his parents must have sinned. Jesus said they didn't sin either. Well, that messed them all up because somebody had to sin, right? In their mind, somebody had to sin for him to be blind. You know what Jesus said? He was born blind for this very moment. Lori, for this very moment that somebody's going to send an email into your office so that I could receive glory, I need to get it to the place where it was dead enough that you didn't believe it and neither did anyone else. See, you had to let Lazarus die because there's no other way he would have raised him from the dead unless he had been dead. It would not have been the miracle that it was had he got healed after he had a sniffle. Right? We would credit Tamiflu. But But sometimes God lets it die so he can say, get ready for this. Come back. And do something that just blows people's minds. Can you imagine teaching in a college with no degree to teach? And they ask you to do it. And they're going to train you to do it. And I told her what's going to happen is they're going to just see how great she is. Yeah, some of you agreeing with me. God only knows what's going to happen from here on out. We say we shouldn't be going through this. This shouldn't be happening in my life. When as opposed to, we should be saying, okay, God, what are you doing? I got in my car Friday afternoon and I said, okay, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said nothing to God, but for a half hour, what are you doing? What have you just done? What are you doing? What are you putting in place? Help me not to miss it. Help me to see it. Oh, God, what are you doing? Not, oh, I spent longer than I should have spent. Well, yeah, what was said, that's been said before, and that's been done before. Nothing's ever come out of it before. Oh, woe is me. I'm just a failure. I'm just, you know, no good. Grumbling and complaining. How about God? What are you going to do in this situation? What are you going to do in this circumstance? Our present experiences serve us literally like a magnet. I like magnets. I like how they attract each other. But you know, if you turn them around, they'll push each other away. Our experiences in life many times serve us like a magnet to draw us either out of our discontentment or into discontentment. The things in our life will drag us to be discontented, or they'll cause us to trust God and bless his name. It's very important for us to hear this because we live in such a society that is so prone to complaining. We got employees that complain about their employers, complain about their bosses, complain about the other people they work with, complain about the hourly wages, complain about what they don't get versus what they do get, complain about their hours, complain about their whatever. In our homes, we got wives complaining about their husbands. We got husbands complaining about their wives. We've got children complaining about their siblings, complaining about their parents complaining about them. In churches, we got members and congregations complaining about each other, complaining about activities, complaining about the worship, complaining about Sunday school programs, complaining about VBSs, complaining about outreaches, complaining about however we spend money, complaining about the pastor. We got pastors complaining about church members. We live in a world full of complaining and arguing. You know, the scripture says, I'm going to end with this, that we'll know the end from the beginning. Do you know where grumbling began? Anybody know? Anybody know? Grumbling and complaining began back in Genesis, in the story of creation. That's where grumbling and complaining began. Because after God had placed, Adam and Eve in the garden, the liar, the deceiver, the enemy, Lucifer, Beelzebub, the great dragon, he said to Eve, what did God tell you? Paul. And she thought, well, maybe he's right. And so she does what God tells her not to do, tells them not to do. And then Adam partakes of the fruit as well, right? And then God says to Adam, women, you're going to like this. Because women weren't the first complainers. Women were not the first grumblers. You're all going to love this. God said to Adam, what did you do? And Adam said, well, the woman you gave me. You know, it's all your fault. All cute and pretty and, you know, how am I supposed to resist her? Come on, that's not even fair. She's naked too. How are you supposed to overlook all that? Come on, God. How many of you have ever said, come on, God? Come on, God. I don't know. We get so spiritual, Emma, sometimes. We're like, oh, and God said to Adam, Adam, why did thou takest of the apple and eat it? And Adam thus then replied unto the Lord his God and said, God, I'm so sorry. The beautiful woman that thou hast created to be my helpmate presented the beautiful fruit unto myself, and I could not help myself. Oh, praise the Lord. God said, Adam, what'd you do? And Adam said, it was her. And you're God, you had to know what you'd do. You know, it's like I got set up here. Do you ever think you've been set up? It's the woman. She brought to me. She's like, hey, Adam. You know, hey. Hey, boy. Flipping her hair. And what was I? What have I said? Look at her. You made her. You said she was good. That's it, God. I'm not accepting Father's Day mugs anymore. She did it. And Eve went, hold on a second. It was him. He's the one who did it. One for him. Grumbling and complaining. God created a helpmate. And Adam said, I'd have been better off without her. How many men have ever said, don't respond to that. Do not move. Do not breathe. Do not look to the left nor to the right. Stay completely calm. We're all getting out of here okay. Because she'll turn that mug on you. Grumbling and complaining, when yet the Lord came to give us peace, love, joy, contentment, and that we could walk out of our own strength and into His. And that in His strength, we are made complete. Did you notice what I said? It's His strength. He knew you couldn't do these. He knew I couldn't do this in my own strength. That's why He said, die to yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. And I'll send you the helper. The comforter. He'll be with you always. Isn't that good news? So we don't have to live complaining and grumbling and grumping. And if we don't, people will be drawn to us. People will recognize us as being like a star shining on a hill because the light will so shine from us. I don't know about you, but that's how I want to be. That's how I want to be. I want to encourage you today. Let your light so shine before men, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Allow the fruit of His Spirit be made manifest in your life. Rise up, the church. Rise up, the children of God. And allow Him to let you shine. And shine. Shine bright for His glory and His honor. Amen? Amen. The team's going to come back to the platform as they're doing that. I just want to encourage you today, right after service, and Karen will be able to direct you with this, right after service, we need to move some chairs here in the sanctuary because of Vacation Bible School. And so if you would take a few moments, and Karen will direct you right up here in the front afterwards what we need to do. But we need to move some chairs so that we can be prepared for Vacation Bible School. Setup is tonight at 6 p.m. If you are able, and I know it's a busy day being Father's Day and all that, but if you are able to be here tonight to help set up with the things for Vacation Bible School, that'll be at 6 o'clock tonight. There are announcements in there for Anchored, our youth. Please, parents, pay attention to those things. Clothing, good, no stains. We're looking for clothes. If you've gone through your closets yet, or spring cleaning, this is the time for you to bring them into the church, put them at the side door, right inside the side door. We'll get them to where they need to be. Immediately following Vacation Bible School, we will have no more Wednesday night Bible studies. We will have Wednesday night sort-a-thon. We will have Wednesday night with Ken and Nate as they try on and model the clothes that come in. So if you've never come to sort clothes, you got to come and see these two in action. So it'll be preparation for the outreach. Where it will take us every Wednesday night from next Wednesday on to get ready for the outreach. So this is where we put what we've learned into action. This is where we've put all the months of Bible studies and sermons into the hands and feet and the love that will reach our community. So come out. It's not this Wednesday's Vacation Bible School, but the following Wednesday and every Wednesday after that will be work-related for the outreach. All right? So if once again, if you have clothing and things like that, shoes, purses, those kinds of things, bring them. No games, no toys, no magazines, no books. You got books, give them to Laura and Chris. They'll look at them for you. But no stuff like that. Just clothing, shoes, and stuff like that, coats and whatever. I saw Dunham's. If you got some extra money you don't know what to do with, they've got jackets, nice jackets, for $19. Go over there and spend a couple $100 and buy a bunch of brand new jackets and bring them to the outreach. Go buy some new packs of underwear down at the dollar stores or wherever. Brand new packs of socks, underwear, flip-flops, things like that. Bring them up, donate them to the outreach very, very inexpensively. Go down to the dollar. It's the Dollar General, right? Dollar General on 217. It's always nice to give new underwear, not used. I mean, just think about it for a moment. If you didn't have underwear to wear and you had to go to a place they were giving out on, how many of you prefer a brand new pack? So why don't you go out, all of you, why don't every family go out and buy a pack for every member in your family? I'm talking the ones who live in your house. Bring them, donate them. God tells you to do something else, do it. But we want to encourage you. We want to be able to give some new things like that, socks and so forth, to the ones that will be coming. If you have any question about sizes, just ask any of the women in the church. They'll tell you. Don't ask us men. All right. Got all that announced. I think that's good. The date in the golf thing is wrong. It's not June 14th. That was last week. So this Thursday, there'll be golf as long as it doesn't rain. If you want to meet at Manitou, 5 o'clock. All right, will you stand with us? Father, I want to thank you for each one that's here today. I want to thank you for every home and every family, every young person, every adult that's in sanctuary this morning. Lord, help us to not grumble and complain. It's so easy to do it. I've done it. I've gotten caught up in it myself. Lord, help us not to grumble and complain. Help us to be thankful. And help us as the men of our homes to lead the way. Help the women of our church to lead the way. Let us not be old gossips, old fuddy-duddies. But help us, Lord, to be men and women of integrity. Men and women who are content in who we are, in our relationship with you, in what you have blessed us with. Father, you are so good to us. We are so blessed as a people, as a congregation. Yes, there may be lacks of wants, lacks of things we would desire, but there's no lack of need. There is no lack of necessity. And God, we thank you for that. And I know that as we become thankful and less grumbly and complaining, Lord, that even those things that we desire, you provide those into our life. We just don't get along with the things to sustain us, but you bless us abundantly. I thank you for that. So, Lord, today, may we be a people with content hearts, trusting in the Lord our God with all of our strength, with all of our mind, knowing that you are good and that you are our provider. You are our help. When we get that straight, man, things will change. Create in us, O God, a heart and a mind that'll be so pleasing in you that we truly would represent the kingdom as righteousness, as light of the world. And because of that, others will look at us and be drawn. They'll be drawn, not repelled away, but will be drawn too, because you are a good, good Father. We bless you. Bless your people today. In Jesus' name.